This last section of what we've studied today from Colossians chapter 3, 1 through verse 17, and we broke it up into four things. We were talking about the need to look up in those first four verses, and in verses 5 through 11 for the class, we talked about looking out into the world, looking out in life itself. And then we said that tonight, Lord willing, we'd talk about look inward and look around, verses 12 through 17. As I began preparing the lesson this past week or two, I began to think, now how am I going to get this last section in the time that you allot for the sermon? How am I going to cover these last two points? And when we stop and look at this last point, there are about four or five lessons that I could bring. And I had a hard time deciding where do I want to center in on instead of just going quickly through verses there real quick to you might not be able to get anything out of it, to just hone in on one or two. And I've come to the conclusion that I believe I want to deal with the last two verses, well, the last three, really, 15, 16, and 17. But let me read the whole passage there for you from verse 12 on to 17. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, Paul writes, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Then verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And finally, verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, as you can see, I hope that there's just a lot of information in those verses tonight. As we look at that thought of forgiveness in verse 13, we could spend a sermon or two on that. We realize that in our world and even in the church, we don't forgive like we should. We carry these burdens around, or we carry the resentment. And forgiveness is very important for a Christian who is looking in their life and then looking out about them. And then there's living the life in verse 15, living the life without worry. I suppose that many of us here tonight could have a long time talking about the things that they worry about, the things that get them down and out, and they just are not able to have that faith in the Lord that they need. They just don't trust in him like they should. But living a life without worry, how many of us can do that? How many of us can get a day by without worrying about something? When we get one problem worked over, then here comes another one. And so it is. And we worry. I used to say that I worried if I didn't have anything to worry about. And that's the way life is sometimes. We like to worry. But I want you to help me tonight as we focus in on these last two verses, 16 and 17, and talk about probably a well-rounded, a well-developed Christian, a real child of God. You know, there's one thing in this world, and that is we need balancing. Life needs its balances. We need to be able to adjust and to get with things, so to speak. Many times we realize that a team, whatever sports team it is, they have to be well balanced. They have those in like football that can run well. They have those that can pass. They have those that can block. They have those that will get around and so forth and so on. And so they have a balance. If they had all just runners and nobody that could stop the other side, then what would it be? I can't get my watch off tonight. I don't know what happened to it. We'll just be here forever, I guess. Let me here work on this a minute. Well, that's life. We'll just have to leave it on. So we need to be properly balanced. Balance is between income and our outgo. We realize we have so much coming in, we realize so much is going to go out. And therefore, we are very careful with that. So life needs balancing. And certainly in our society today, we need it. People don't always think of that. But in Colossians 3, 16 and 17, let me say first of all that we need to be, now listen, Bible-saturated people. We need to know this book. You've all heard, I'm sure, at one time or another about what it used to be years ago, that Christians in the churches of Christ were very, very much Bible-quoting, Bible-toting people, that they knew their Bibles. But sad to say, we look around us now and we find out that something has happened. We don't have that Bible saturation that we once had. Paul says, let the word of Christ, what? Dwell in you richly. That means a whole lot. We draw our direction from it. It is our strength, our guidance, our wisdom. Being saturated in the Bible does several things for us. First of all, it can help us to know the truth. When you are searching, well, what is the truth? Here it is. You're going to find it in your Bible. If you search it, if you study it, if you read it. Secondly, it enables us to recognize error. When you hear somebody misquoting Scripture, when you hear somebody taking advantage of this and not accurately interpreting the Bible, you would know that and you would be able to help them. And third of all, it provides answers to life's difficult questions. Where we've come from, where we're going, and so forth. We must know the message. In other words, read your Bible. We talked a little bit about that this morning. And if you've ever followed me in any lengthy time of preaching, you realize that I hone in a lot on this need to know our Bibles, to be able to understand God's Word. A Christian is a person who knows God's Word. And we must read it daily if we're going to do that. I don't know who it was, but somebody sat down and figured this out. Now listen, did you know that half of the books of the Bible can be read in less than 45 minutes? That's half the books of the Bible. You say, oh, I don't have time. Well, you can read half of them for 45 minutes. At least you got that much. And many of them you can read, now listen to this, you can read in less than 20 minutes. So if you can't do the 45, do the 20. You'll know those at least. Get down with it. It has been demonstrated that the entire Old and New Testament can be read aloud in less than 71 hours. Pretty neat, isn't it? Do you realize that this means that in less than 15 minutes a day, we could read the Bible from cover to cover? Now, you stop and think, 15 minutes a day. I can do that. You can do that, can't you? But sometimes I don't want to. We just don't want to. We can read the newspaper maybe, or we can watch television for 15 minutes. But reading God's Word is something else. With this in mind, how do we account for the woeful lack of knowledge of the Bible? When we ask people in a Bible class, where do you find this verse? They don't know. They've not been reading God's Word. Now let me ask you, and I ask me, how much time do I really spend thoughtfully reading the Word of God? Do I spend 10 minutes? I'll take that, if that's all you can give. I'll take that, but I think you can do better. We must understand the message very carefully. It's so important that we understand what the Bible is saying to us. Hearing and understanding are two different things. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, let me pick on you men for a minute. You men around the house, your wife comes in to where you are, and she starts talking to you. And you continue right on. And then all of a sudden, she will say, you aren't listening to me. Right? We're guilty of that, aren't we, men? Joyce does that to me a lot. Maybe I just look dumb. Maybe I just look bad. I don't know what it is. But she can look at me and say, you're not listening to what I'm saying. And I say, oh, yeah. I think you were saying, that's not what I was talking about. And so it is that we have to really, it's listening. It's not that we weren't listening. It's just that we are not getting what she was saying to us. Oh, we could hear a noise going on, but we weren't really listening to what our good wife was saying. We must ask ourselves, as we read the Word of God, we must ask ourselves questions. What does Paul mean by this? What was Jesus saying here in his Sermon on the Mount? How does that apply to me in my life today? Here in 2016, with all of the things that are going on in this old world, how does this little verse here apply to me and my life? What am I going to do with it? You know, we have to apply the message practically. Maybe you've heard this one about Mark Twain, but he said, most people are bothered by those passages of Scripture which they cannot understand. And I hear that a lot. Well, I can't understand what the Bible's saying, Maynard. I just don't know what he said. I read it, but I didn't get it. I read it again, I didn't get it. He said, that's what most people say about. But as for me, he says, I have always noticed the passages in Scripture which trouble me the most are the ones I understand. Do you get that? The ones I understand. It's not the ones I don't understand that are bothering me. It's the ones that I do understand. And that's the way it should be. We really need to get down and study the Scriptures. The Bible does not teach us about forgiveness so you and I can sit down one day and discuss forgiveness. It's so we will be forgiven. That's what it's for. The Bible doesn't teach us just about peace so we can write nice sounding songs. It's so we might be calm in the Lord and follow His words. The word is to dwell, Paul says, richly. What does that mean to you? When you think of richly, you think of great wealth, don't you? Oh, when we think of the Word of God, to let it richly dwell within us, what is that saying? That we understand a lot of it, that we are living by it. Brethren, we need to interact with the text. Now, I don't know, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I know I have at other times, but when I sit down to study the Bible, I mark my Bible up. I don't know how you do about yours or not, but I have come across a few people, oh no, I wouldn't mark my Bible, no. I don't understand it, but that's the way they want it. That's all right with me. I wouldn't get in a fuss about it, but I need a lot of help. So I put down a lot of little reminders and little notes, and I underline things, and I highlight things, and I do, and my Bible's falling apart. But I'd rather have it that way than a nice new one that I never read. And I have known people, years and years ago, when I was a poor preacher, or poorer than I am now, but years ago, when I was really struggling, I was selling Dixon Bibles on the side to make a little extra money so I could eat, not just Joyce. But anyway, it got that. And people at a little church I preached at up in the country of Western North Carolina, I'd go up once a month and preach for them. They couldn't read. And I don't mean to make fun of them. I don't mean in any way to belittle them. They were good, honest Christians. But they would buy Bibles, and they would carry them in the box that they came in. But that's not what we've got this book for. It's not just to sit on a coffee table or on a desk or in a shelf or somewhere where it's brand new and never gets marked or read. We got to read it. We got to understand it. When my dad and then my mother died, my three sisters and my one brother that was still living gave me the family Bible to take care of. I guess they thought me, a preacher, yeah, he better use a Bible, you know. So they let me have the Bible. But that Bible, as I look at it, it was well worn when I got it. And I can still remember as a little boy looking at night at my mother sitting on the side of the bed reading the Scriptures before she went to sleep. And that meant so much to me. This Word of God. We interact with the text so we may do some underlining of important passages. We may jot down some questions in the margins. But that'll help us. And the main, or the meditating upon the text, that is so important. I'd rather read one verse and understand it than to read 20 and not understand it. I'd rather get one down, and that's just the kind of person I am in preaching and teaching classes is, I just take a verse of Scripture and tear it all to pieces. I want to know what every word means, because I believe every word in the Bible is there for a purpose, and that we need to understand that. We need to know what it says. Brother David Lipe, I don't know if you know him or not, he's held quite a few gospel meetings at Lake Forest, and he was a teacher for many, many years at Freed Hardeman, and then he retired from that and went with the Knoxville School of Preaching for a while as the overseer of that, and now he's resigned from that and is just sort of helping raise money for them. But at his last meeting up in Lake Forest, I was talking to him, and he's writing a commentary for a set of commentaries, I think, that is put out. I forget the press that's putting it out. But he had the Gospel of John. He was given that commentary to read, write the notes on. And he says, Brother Maynard, he always calls me Brother Maynard. He says, Brother Maynard, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to start this writing. He says, I spend 1 hour at least on each verse of Scripture, understanding every word that is there in the original Greek. And he has that capacity to do that. But when I think I last saw him a few months ago, I believe he was maybe 2/3 through it. He's got a deadline, and he says, I don't know if I'm ever going to make it or not. But he is carefully searching the Scriptures. And that's what we need. And I try a little bit of that. I don't know the Greek as well as I would like to, and I don't know a lot of the other ways. But it is exciting to me to sit down and spend a whole morning on 2 or 3 verses of Scripture as I prepare a lesson. We need, third of all, to memorize the text. I used to do a lot of memory work, but I don't know what happened. The mind went or something. But we need to memorize the Scriptures. And you know what? We as individual Christians need to learn from one another. Sometimes we maybe need to just invite somebody over, or maybe 2 or 3 of you just get together and do some reading and studying together of the Bible. We live in a world that urges us to be independent, in a world that says, pull your own strings, do everything. But it seems like I read somewhere in this book that the apostle, now correct me if I'm wrong, but the apostle Paul said, we're sort of like a body. There's hands and there's eyes and so forth. Each has a talent, an ability. Maybe you're like me and you're still looking for what yours is, but you realize that we can learn from one another. You've heard it many times before, and I won't dwell on it anyway, but we are not looking for Lone Ranger Christians. We need to help one another. And one of the ways that we can do this is that beautiful verse of Scripture here, that to dwell richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I love good singing. I love when members get together and we'll sing the gospel hymns that we have in our books. I think sometimes some of the churches in our brotherhood are getting away from good gospel songs. I read and hear of some songs that Jesus is never mentioned in them. God is never mentioned in them. Their song has a catchy tune, but I wonder what it's for. And I know young people look at me and say, well, Brother Boer, you're just old, and that's the way you grew up, and so forth and so on. Well, maybe it is. But I realize that we need to understand. It's just as wrong to sing an era as it is to teach it. You know that. You've heard that before. Singing is important. Singing has to be scriptural. If we're going to be edified, if we're going to be built up in it. But then Paul brings his thought to the fitting peak or the apex of this passage. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. There are few exhortations in Scripture that are more comprehensive than this one right here, that we need to understand. You know, sometimes as Christians, we can do things that are not in harmony with God's will. And we may think we have a good reason for doing it. But sometimes we don't realize the damage that comes from that. When people are looking at us and they think, well, I would have never believed they would have said that or they would have done that. You and I know the world is watching us. And they're watching carefully. What kind of an impression do I make on my neighbors? What kind of impression do I make on this group of men at our gym where we once a week on Friday go out and eat breakfast together? They're not Christians. But I hope I'm having some kind of an influence on them. I know they treat me with great respect. And they watch what they say. But who knows? Maybe seed will be sown for somebody else to bring forth fruit. The way we conduct our business, the way we have our entertainment and so forth and so on, all of these things we need to be aware of. But here's the big question I'm going to leave with you before we close this sermon. And that is, are you holding anything back from the Lord? Are you saying, oh, I'm good at this, and I go to church, and I read my Bible, and so forth and so on. But what area of your life is off limits to the Lord? Now, Lord, I don't want you to look at this. I don't want you to think about this. I don't want you to know anything about this. As if we could hide something from Him. Do you need to begin reading your Bible more? Do you need to let others help you? Do you need to integrate your faith in your everyday living? What do you think about it, brethren? What do you think about it? The world will never believe what we say about Jesus until they see that we really believe Jesus. Now you can dwell upon that, and that's something you can spend a lot of time studying and thinking about. But what is it, brethren? What is it that you need to do? I wonder if I speak to somebody tonight. I know we have visitors. I don't know anything about you. I'm just filling in for Victor here. But I'd like for you to come back, if you can, to hear Victor. Marvelous preacher. But if there are those here tonight who've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'd like to see you do that tonight. You think, well, Maynard, I need a little bit more time. I need a little bit more study. And if that be your case, their brethren here will study with you, I'm sure. You can get a member here. And if you can't get anybody, you just let me know. And I'll see what I can do. But I want you to think about your soul. How precious it is. and you don't want to step out into eternity without having made those provisions for where your soul will spend eternity. If you're here tonight and you are a member of Oceanside, but you have not been faithful like you should, and you need to ask for the prayers of the congregation, let this be the time that you take care of that before it's too late. If you're subject to heaven's call, won't you come while together we stand and while we sing?